Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's been... Finally, we didn't see a pole out here this morning.
It's amazingly foggy.
It was. It was real bad this morning. We were at the Clocker Stand out at the Thoroughbred Center on the Lexington Parish Road. And let me tell you, it was tough getting in here this morning from Bourbon County. I was cutting across that little old road on Ferguson, and I couldn't go over 10, 15 miles an hour. It was rough with this fog.
Yeah.
And then it got out here.
And that was what time? 5?
I got here a little. I was a little late getting here because it took me so long.
Yeah,
it was between 5:30 and 5:25 or something like that. Anyway, so I got here and I couldn't even see the finish line. It's just about 20 yards from me.
You know.
So, we got a few works. We have people who call me from the other side and tell me when to push the button.
Yeah.
So we got that couple done that way. And then here comes Fred Sykes right now. Fred waited until he cleared off, and he worked a couple.
Yeah.
And we ended up with maybe 6 or 7 works late. And,
yeah.
And that's it. 3 or 4.
Well, and a couple people just came up. Here comes Michael blowing.
Yeah.
With a coffee and
with a, coffee
a lady in tow.
And a lady in tow. Oh, wow. And... That's Michael.
Yeah.
Back from New York. But we've had a pretty good meeting out here, though. Well, let me give you the winners from last. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Have a seat.
Sit down and shut up. I'll be right with you.
Sit down and shut up. Drink your coffee.
I feel like I'm home.
Yeah,
you
right.
are. Okay. Winners out of the Thoroughbred Center. See, we have had now this month 31 winners, 11 since the last show. And let me announce the names of those trainers. Robert Sturgeon, everybody calls him Bobby, Josh Sines, Mark Hubley, Curvin Smith, Tom Bergen, Mark Hubley had another one, Tommy Mills, Arthur Antrim, Bill Hickey, Mort Shirazi, and Helmut Jackson. So that's 11 winners since the last show, 31 winners this month. And what we're going to do with this show, we've got Michael Ewing coming on. Now, Michael is... Believe it or not, a lady. I've never known a woman known Michael before. You
I
said
have.
You did.
Yes,
Michael Lerner, she was an actress.
Oh, yes, she was, too. I worked with down on High Street in the late 60s with a girl named Michael.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, okay,
pretty, pretty girl.
Come up with three Michaels already?
Her. You couldn't mistake her for a boy. She was
well,
a
this
pretty
is
girl.
All I know about her. I don't know much about her. She's new. She's from California. And she's very congenial. I know that. She didn't snap my head off up here, so I asked her to come on the show. That'll show
there
her.
There you go.
Yeah. But she's going to come on. Her horses look good. And I don't know. Somebody said she was with Bob Hess for a long time in California.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And Bob and Amy Hess, they help us a lot.
Is that right?
Oh, good.
Yeah. And let's see. Horses look good. As I said that, she's got a pony out here everybody lusts after. A nice, good-looking gray pony. She's got two ponies. So she's got a two-pony stable.
Oh, I got to tell you something cute. Michael wasn't here. Somebody out here is a real flashy gray pony, black mane and tail, maybe even some spots on it, and they've got zebra rundowns on it.
Nice.
It's really cute. I mean, they're polos, you know, right around there. And
that's one ugly pony, Jackie.
Well,
he's got a bad case of the uglies.
Well, if you're into bays,
there's no such thing as an ugly pony.
Yeah, well, this one is.
But
he's a good one, though, you know.
Yeah, and he does his job well, but he's got those, I mean, zebra stripes. It's just too cute.
That Jamie Bruin, I like that pony he's got now. That rescue from up
he's
in Canada.
He's a PEM mare, PME, whatever they call it.
Beats me.
That's where they get the hormones.
Premarin.
Premarin.
Out of one of those mares.
Yeah. And
right.
It's a...
We have a late scratch on the show today, I have to announce.
Oh, no.
Doc's not coming?
No, he had to make a house call in Ireland.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Tough luck, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
I told him that you had one request that he'd leave some of those big words over in Ireland and bring back some smaller ones.
Boy, he used some whoppers, didn't he? And he looks at me like I'm supposed to know what the hell he's talking about. You know? No shot. I love Doc O. He's a great guy.
He's the best. I don't know what we'd do without him. He's just an amazing human being.
Well, not only that, I've had several instances where veterinarians have said, he's the best. He's the best, most respected vet in Central Kentucky. I mean, their veterinarians, they know.
I know. It's true. And, well, I know one thing. He's so modest about it, too. If I was in that position, it wouldn't be the case, let me tell you that.
I guarantee you he's not paying for this trip to Ireland. You know.
No. I bet he went in a private jet. I bet they sent a jet.
Well, maybe he'll give us some details next week. Yeah, it's another reason for you people to stay tuned for next week's program. Right. This is like one of those old serials at the movies. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen next week. You better tune in. You might miss something.
Yeah, we never know. This show, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. We sit down here not knowing what's going to happen. I guess it shows, too. I don't know. But anyway.
Everybody likes it because the people up at Saratoga were, several of them mentioned it. I had a great talk with Des Dempsey.
Isn't he a nice guy?
He was giving me fashion tips at some cocktail party. He says, you know, you should wear a straw hat, you know, with that outfit. I'm going, this is what I need, fashion tips from a horse guy.
An Irishman, too.
Unbelievable. He, I have to say, he was well turned out.
They gave us those wonderful pullovers, those black, thick pullovers.
Spendthrift farm on them.
I went out there for something one day, and they said, how you doing? I said, you got any more clothes?
There you go. No, he was great. Ken Wilkins was up there from Spencer. There are a lot of people up there.
Yeah. Sean Phil, too. Mm-hmm. The three of them, flew them all up there.
Yes.
Nobody tending the store, you know.
No?
I called up over there.
They even brought Dublin up with them.
Ah.
So Dublin's going to stand up there in New York. So they brought Dublin over to the sale. And I have to say, Fasig Tipton was great to us, too. Dan Pride and everybody at Fasig Tipton was really nice. We had a press conference up there with Jackson Knowlton.
Oh, yeah, tell us about this trip.
Well, Jack Knowlton, and he owns Saratoga Stables. Of course, he campaigned Funnyside, and he puts together syndicates every year. And he's decided, the people at Saratoga and Jack have decided that for every yearling nearby, they're going to donate $10,000 to Old Friends, guaranteeing that horse retirement. And then I got a call from a wonderful guy up there named Elliot Mazey, who runs an educational company. He does seminars and things like that. And he's really a great guy, and he buys horses, and he said he's going to do the same thing. So we're hoping it catches on, and we'll just put that money aside, and when the horse time to retire, he'll have his own stall and
there you go.
And all of that. So that was sensational.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a good, it's a nice precedent. And then the day before yesterday, Mrs. Bashir, First Lady of Kentucky, came to the farm.
Nice person.
And we had a little tour, and she's really going to work very, very hard on getting some sustained funding for these old racehorses.
Oh, that's great.
We're very excited about that.
We're so lucky that she and Governor Bashir are in the horse business. They ride everything.
She gave me one of the greatest compliments we ever got on the farm.
What's that?
When we got done, you know, everybody's kind of a little surprised that these old horses look as good as they do.
Right.
And it's no magic. We just feed them and take care of them. And then we have Dr. Byers to look over our shoulder and Janet and Ken and everybody to help. But anyway, when we all left, she goes, I've never been to a farm where all the horses had such kind eyes.
Ooh,
yeah, that
nice.
Is nice.
Yeah, yeah, that was really, really nice.
That gives me
yeah, that was that very, is, very nice. And
super.
It's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said. And then I'm all excited because tomorrow I get to go to the airport and pick up Angie Dickinson.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Angie's going to stay with us for a few days.
See,
I'm also going to shower. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's going to be on his tombstone. I picked up Angie Dickinson.
Yeah, that's right. There won't be room for anything else.
<You're right.
laughs> Wow. She's going to stay a few days. What fun.
Well, they're having the International Convention of Police Women in Lexington. And on Monday, they're having a luncheon for her.
Yeah.
And, of course, her famous show is Policewoman, and so they're all excited about seeing her. In fact, attendance at this event is 300% more than the attendance at any other event for the convention. So
that's great.
And she'll be signing some autographs. We're going to be down at the Hyatt route from noon to 3 o'clock or 2:30 on Monday. And then, because she's friends with Jerry Moss, she got special permission to go over and see Zenyatta over at Lane's End. So we'll be taking a trip over there.
You're going with her, of course.
She needs somebody to take care of her.
I know.
I'm going to try it, of course.
Isn't that tough, you volunteer? Know. It's tough work, but he'll do it. Yeah.
Sorry for you.
Well, you know, I, that's what I do. I do it with Diane.
Actually,
you know, I just follow them around and, you know, hang on to the skirts.
Just. Well, Diane just says heel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let me interrupt you for a second. We'll get back, okay?
Oh, my God, he's going to interrupt me.
It was. It's
oh, well, it starts somewhere.
Well, last Saturday, Calder Band, the band is Passing Stakes, was won by Flatter This, a four-year-old colt by Flatter, bred in Kentucky by Warren and Jeannie Lister. A typical Flatter This has placed in two other stakes in Calder, has won in a top allowance company at Gulfstream, has competed on dirt and grass, and he's rated a superior mutter. He joins a long list of stakes winners by Flatter, a list that includes Tar Heel Mom, recent winner of the Grade 2 Honorable Miss Stakes at Saratoga, and of over $788,000 to date, Flat Out, winner this year of the historic Grade 2 Suburban and second in the Grade 1 Whitney, he's earned over $509,000 now, and Apart, winner of the 2011 running of the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Memorial at Pimlico, placed in three other graded stakes this year, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill. He's earned over $695,000. If you want a runner in your racing stable, take a close look at the Flatter yearlings at the upcoming sales. A full brother to last year's leading freshman sire, congrats, by AP Indy, out of praise by Mr. Prospector. Flatter stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquires to Bernie Sams, and see the website at Claiborne Farm. .com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Broken Vow is a sire of 10 2011 stakes horses. That's pretty routine for Broken Vow. He's a sire of 16% stakes horses, and he's the sire of graded stakes winners on dirt, grass, or artificial. They didn't run on anything. One of those 10 2011 stakes horses is the brilliant Sassy Image, winner this year of the Grade 1 Princess Rooney Handicap, the Grade 1 Humana Distaff Stakes, and the Grade 3 Winning Color Stakes. She sprinted 6 furlongs, 108 and 2, the day she won the Winning Colors at Churchill, 7 furlongs and 121 flat in the Distaff, also at Churchill. To date, she's earned more than $804,000, and she's one of four Grade 1 stakes winners by Broken Vow, who stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. The first foals by Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seeking a Goal or Racing, and they're winning this year at 2. Cowboy Cal, a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire, is sighing superb individuals. His first foals arrived this year. And Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic has sired 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries to Clifford Barry. See the website, pinoakstud.com. All righty. Well, we're talking to Michael Bowen, and Dr. Byers is off Calavan. Now, I bet he's over in a pub over in Ireland right now.
I can only hope so. I can only hope so. But he's amazing, and of course, he's the one you want to see if anything's wrong with your horse. You know, he's just unbelievable. We're working with your friend James Keogh on a horse.
Oh, are you now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you hear about James' leg? How's his leg look?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. I just talked
to
him on the phone.
What happened to James' leg?
Oh,
I heard it.
Well, they said Robbie Lyons tried to chop it off. They were down in hunt country cleaning up the jumps. You know, you have to go around and get stuff off of them, so yeah, blah, blah, blah. And Robbie's swinging around a weed eater with blade.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Whacked him in the leg. I'm sure he's fine, but, you know, they said he, you know that, there's a long bone in your leg, the heavy one, and then the smaller one.
This one, we need Dr. Byers. At least we know the name of it.
I know. He could tell us. Whatever runs alongside the cannon bone.
Yeah.
But I heard this yesterday from my blacksmith, Connor McCarthy, who hunts with
When did it happen to James?
I don't know. He said, because he asked me to hear about Robbie Lyons trying to take off James' leg.
Wow.
So well,
we talked a couple
recently.
Of days ago about this horse is up in Washington. So.
Couple of Irishmen for crying out loud.
Didn't get him, you know, real high up, just down there on his legs. So, anyway.
You know, the other thing up in Saratoga that was so interesting, every time I turned around, I heard Brereton Jones' name. It was unbelievable how many horses he bred or owned that won stakes races up there. I mean, it was just one after the other. It was crazy.
How about three stakes winners last weekend?
Yeah, that's when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't think they were all, one of them, it was at Monmouth, I think. I've got it somewhere. I've got it in the Macaulay's commercial. Stick around and you'll hear it.
Your key to racing profit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was last weekend for sure. Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Everything he stands out there.
You know, I have to say this. Ever since he started donating money to Old Friends, his luck has changed. He's
karma.
Got the Old Friends karma. You know, it's unbelievable. He gave us Patton, and he used to have Afternoon Delights, and Afternoon Delights and Patton are both at the farm
all
now.
Right.
And he's been to the farm, and all the people at Airdrie have been great to us. And ever since they started, not that they weren't good before.
I was
going to
say,
things
huh?
were going very well before, but they seem to be slightly accelerated with a little magic dust.
Well, he was nominated for Breed of the Year in Eclipse Award last year.
He should have gotten it.
Well, they have a tendency to vote for the one with the most money. It's volume.
Yeah. Michael Dill had volume. He won an Eclipse Award, too. I rest my case. Volume is not the way to go. It's what's good for the sport, what's good for the horses, and what's good for the business. And if you can combine all of those, then you should win the Eclipse Award.
He's got that stud I advertised and talked about a minute ago, that Include, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. He stood in for $7,500 this last year.
Not next year, though.
I mean, this year. I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
Burry, you know. I think Burry owns him outright.
Does he?
Yeah. And
well, Indian Charlie sure looks good over there.
Well, he's looked good for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's decided to win the 4 Eclipse Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's awfully good, yeah. I mean, Include, you know, that's keeping the old Domino sire line alive.
Yes.
That's the only one that is, really.
Really.
And I wish he'd sire really top colt, because most of his best runners so far have been fillies. And including the one that's going today in the Alabama.
Yeah. Is that St. John's River?
Yeah, right.
Got a real shot in there.
I thought, yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she should have won the Oaks. You know, what was that girl rider that was riding her?
I forget.
It wasn't her fault.
No.
The filly broke poorly, and she immediately took her to the rail, but she lost 5 or 6 lengths, you know, and she just got beat a half length for all of it. Yeah. And then came back and won the Monmouth Oaks.
Yeah, I think the pace sets up too for coming off a little bit.
Well, I haven't handicapped it. You know, I'm just.
Well, don't listen to me, because I had the worst meet I've ever had at Saratoga wagering.
Well, you
oh
know,
my goodness gracious! I had a horse who had a 7 length lead, turned it for home, and bolted for the outside fence.
Oh, cute!
And went from first to last, and then came back and finished third.
Yeah.
Then I had a key horse who was named Rothgau. It was 4-1. I love this horse. My pick of the whole meet. So I keyed him in the pick 3. I keyed him in the trifecta. I keyed him in the exacta. I didn't hit the exacta. I didn't hit the trifecta. And I didn't hit the pick 3. And I ended up losing $30 on my pick of the meet.
Ooh. That thing bolting to the outside sounds like a Marx Brothers movie. Somebody's up there with a carrot. Oh, here, horsey. Yeah.
Many,
it looked like.
Many years ago, Doug Davis had a 2-year-old that he named One Car Funeral. You've heard that saying, you know.
Yeah.
He could screw up a one-car funeral. And they ran him at Keeneland first time out, and he bolted. You know, and he had the lead.
It was unbelievable. But the people up at Saratoga were so great. I mean, it was really a lot of fun. The sale was exciting.
Well, it was so rainy. Maybe that's why you didn't do well. They said track at Saratoga was...
Not the days I was there. It only rained one day, really, that I was there.
Yeah.
And the rest of it was... No, speed was holding up, and it was just the racing gods were not smiling. I mean,
uh-oh.
I was losing by a nose, and when I won, I didn't cash the ticket. I mean,
it's a
familiar lament.
Spent all that old friend's karma on other people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, as long as it wasn't old friend's money I was losing, I guess I'm okay.
What did you see last Saturday? You were up there last Saturday, weren't you?
Yeah, sword dancer.
Oh, yeah.
I went into Tom Durkin because, you know, we just lost a wad. Do you know that the sword dancer, I forget which, you know, he still holds a track record for the sword dancer and the million. The million this year, or was it the Sword Dancer? One of them was a full 5 seconds slower than a Wads record, and the other one was 3 seconds slower.
Yeah,
than
he said right? The track was dead.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I was so glad. So I went up to see Tom Durkin the day before the track announcer at Saratoga because I wanted to tell him about a Wad. Maybe he would mention something about a Wad the next day at the Sword Dancer. And because I had a really nice conversation with David Donk, his trainer, and, you know, it was really, really nice to talk to all the people about this great horse and how much he meant to that racetrack. So anyway, we get up there to Tom Durkin, and I said, Tom, I said, it would be really great if you could replay a Wad when he broke the track record, because I said, that was one of the great race calls. And so he's kind of scratching his head trying to remember, you know, in his large catalog.
Not like he didn't call a few races.
Yeah. So I said, I know you can't remember. So I started to do my impersonation.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm up there with Durkin. He goes, 3 minutes till post time, 3 minutes to post time. He said, okay.
So he did it?
So I did it.
Oh.
He didn't remember it until we started. So I said, and here comes the old pro Wad. He's making a big move on the outside. Here comes the Wad. And he demolished the track record. He demolished it.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I remember it now.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that
great.
Was really cool. And David Donk was telling stories about him. And I met a guy who used to be the exercise writer for a firm success. He's 65 years old. Now he's a mutual clerk.
Funny.
I met the guy that used to rub Gulch for Leroy Jolly and Fortunate Prospect for Leroy Jolly. And so we got some great stories about some of our retirees, and that's the most fun of all.
Yeah, I imagine it would be.
Put them in the archive.
Yes.
Oh, and then on Wednesday, I just got invited to go on Race Day America on HRTV on Wednesday noontime.
This next Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wednesday at noon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
well,
Wednesday.
If you're up by
noon.
Then. You know, you might want to check it out.
Up by then.
Up
by then.
I know. This
nap.
It's nap time by then.
Okay.
So that's our little schedule.
Yeah, Robert Hammond from Windstar was on that last week.
Good.
I found after the fact, somebody told me.
Robert, he was training out here when I first met him. Did you know that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
He was over there in barn 3, I believe it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had him on the show. I've had him on the show a couple of times, yeah. English.
Yes, English.
Yeah.
Ran into Alfred Knuckles up at Saratoga.
Oh, did
mm-hmm.
you? How's Alfred doing?
Good.
Behaving himself?
When I was watching, he had a bow tie on. His horse was the last
did
horse.
Notice, did you notice the hesitation when I said he's behaving
when
himself?
I was watching him.
The History Channel was following him around to do some kind of documentary on the horse sale or something. And
really?
Yeah.
Was following
the
Al,
History
Al,
Channel?
Yeah.
Huh.
You never know.
You never know.
And I told him it was all because they like people in bow ties.
Oh, I'll bet.
But just before the sale started, the last horse that Sheikh Mohammed looked at was Alfred's.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Did he have a decent sale?
He bought them, I think. Huh?
He bought.
He bought all the Bernardinis.
Yeah, Alfred's was a Bernardini.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he got it.
Sheikh Mohammed spent 25% of all the money spent at that sale.
Yeah.
Thank God he showed up.
Thank
eh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll be here in September at Keeneland and hope the trend continues.
Yeah. Hope he takes care of himself.
Yeah. Hope that trend continues. Get those nice yearlings into good homes.
All righty. I guess I got to take
anything
another break.
Coming up?
Well, let's see. Well,
other than Angie Dickinson, he can't think past Angie Dickinson. That's his problem.
That's true.
I'm going to go see if I can rent some
this
of
is
the old
true.
Movies.
Rio Bravo is one of the great movies ever made. You ever see Rio Bravo?
Wasn't that on last week or a week before last?
Yes, it was.
Who
John,
was it?
John Wayne, Dean, John
okay,
Wayne played as the sheriff.
Here's the funny part about Rio Bravo. It's this big cattle drive, right? Is that the one with the big cattle drive?
No, Red River.
Oh, okay. Because we were watching one and they were driving these cattle from out Dakota and going to Kansas or somewhere. And there are a bunch of, what were they? Domesticated cows, that beef cattle that we've got now. I mean, it was real funny because they were all fat and
waggling. Yeah, well, they all live in Hollywood. What do you expect?
Exactly. Yeah. The cows from Hollywood.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny.
But no, Rio Bravo, John Wayne plays the sheriff. Walter Brennan plays his deputy. Dean Martin plays the town, the old gunfighter who's now the town drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And Angie
yeah,
plays, you know, the woman who's in the hotel doing, you know.
And who was the young kid in it?
Ricky Nelson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Ricky.
It's a great movie. It's a really, really great movie. Howard Hawks did it.
It was corny.
You know. Okay. He doesn't even remember it. I got to tell him what it is. He thinks it's...
Was it in color?
Yes. It was probably the first color movie you ever saw.
And No Gone with the Wind was.
But it's a really good movie. It really is.
Yeah. You all got to get Angie at the house and play it. Have a screening.
Well, yeah. I'd like to.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good idea. She's probably seen it before.
You think? I don't know. They say some
but what's really cool about it is Angie, we have a memorial garden for her daughter at the farm, her daughter Nikki, who died. And the other thing is she and Burt Bacharach, who's a Burt Bacharach Foundation, donated nearly $50,000 to Old Friends. And
yeah.
We have Afternoon Delights there, who Burt used to have. So
right.
She's really looking forward to seeing the horses and seeing the police women and having
what
a good time.
Oh, yeah,
what
a fun trip.
Yeah.
That's good.
Didn't he have another real good horse?
Yeah, Soul of the Matter.
Yeah, by the same horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
West Virginia breds.
Yeah.
I was on the radio last week with Sam Huff.
Oh, my God. Really?
Sam Huff, he has, you know, he's the head of Virginia Breeders. Yeah, great linebacker, a Hall of Fame linebacker for the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. But anyway, we were talking about the old NFL players, and we were talking about the old horses, you know, all broken down. Like, I ran into Paul Hornung up at Saratoga coming out of the barbecue. So I mentioned that, and I said, you know, he's having a hard time getting around like our horses. He goes, yeah, that's because he was in the NFL. He says, you know what the NFL stands for, Sam asks? I said, no, what? And he goes, not for long.
Yeah, I got to take a break.
All right, I'm going to. I got a bus coming in with 50 police women on it.
50 police women?
Yeah, so if anybody wants to come by and meet the horses and the police women, they can meet me at the farm at 11 o'clock.
All right, well, if they all look like Angie Dickerson, I'll be there.
Well, come over and see her.
All right. Two yearlings, both fillies from the first crop by First Defense, were offered in the opening session of the recent Fasig Tipton New York Bred Preferred sale. Jim Maloney bid $120,000 for one, and the other went to Kenny McPeak for $60,000. They're in good hands. First Defense is sire quality individuals, and he has all the prerequisites for sire success. He had brilliant speed, sprinting 7 furlongs and 120 and 4 at Belmont, 121 and 2 at Saratoga, 122 and 1 at Churchill, and he won stakes around 2 turns. He won grade 1 stakes, taking the grade 1 4-go handicap at Saratoga. And he has a great pedigree, a pedigree loaded with grade 1 winners and successful sires. First Defense is by Unbridled Song, out of grade 1 stakes won Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Honest Lady is a half-sister to grade 1 sires Empire Maker and Chester House, out of grade 1 stakes winner in Broodmare of the Year, Troussade. And now, that's a great pedigree. He stands at Judmont Farm with the grade 1 stakes winner and grade 1 sire Mizzen Mags. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.farm. Well, Burton Jones is sire of the winners of 3 stakes last weekend. He's the breeder in partnership with Racehorse Management of Savvy Supreme, winner of the Grade 3 Mammoth Oaks, of Satina Dond, winner of the Hattu Stakes at Arlington Park, and of 2 Indy Wee, winner of the Ontario Debutante Stakes at Woodbine. Now, 2 Indy Wee is a half-sister to Bow Fuel, Horse of the Year in Canada in 2010. Congratulations to Mr. Jones from his friends at Macaulay Brothers. Congratulations also to the folks at Stone Street Farm, where my Miss Aurelia, winner of the Grade 2 Adirondack Stakes, was bred. My Miss Aurelia won by neck over A Million Reasons Why, filly bred by Tom Evans, Ten Lane Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds. Congratulations to Winchell Thoroughbreds, breeder of Longview Drive, winner in California of the Cavalier Juvenile Stakes, and to Dr. John Little, breeder of the undefeated Hoagie, winner of the Brian Baron Shear Juvenile Stakes at Canterbury, all valued customers of Macaulay Brothers. And a leader in their field, Macaulay's was the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Now let them help you to the winner's circle. Call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Unbridled Energy is the sire of 2 stakes winners, a stakes place winner, 24 winners, plus 11 others that have placed already, all from his first crop of racing age. They're hitting the winner's circle with regularity, and there are more on the way. It's not surprising. Unbridled Energy won his only start as a two-year-old, and he won graded stakes at both three and four. He excelled around two turns. Unbridled Energy is by Unbridled Song, who currently ranks third on the general sire list with the earners of more than $5,548,000. Unbridled Song 2011 stud fee, $100,000 live foal. Unbridled Energy's dam is the multiple stakes winner and graded place at Antistique, half-sister to the graded stakes winner and grade one stakes producer Heart of Joy from a family loaded with graded stakes winners. Take a good look at the Unbridled Yearlings, Unbridled Energy Yearlings at the upcoming sales. He stands at Crestwood Farm. Your inspection of the Crestwood Stallions is invited. Just contact Pope McLean at 252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Got a little note that the young lady who rode St. John's River in the Kentucky Oaks was Rosie Naprovnik. And I couldn't remember her name.
And now you know.
And now I know. She's injured now.
Is she really?
Yes.
What happened to her?
She got hurt.
Well,
I don't know.
How did I ever miss that one?
I have no idea.
I live with this 24/7. It's a wonder I just keep my sanity.
I actually had to rescue somebody this morning. We had a rider go down.
Oh, yeah? How are they?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Ashley. Ashley, what happened to him? Do you remember?
They said a saddle slip.
Saddle slip.
Saddle slip.
Well, that'll do her.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to check those things.
Yeah.
You know, young rider. Yeah.
You know, it used to be you'd chamois.
What are you doing with two pair of glasses on?
So I can read, and sun's bright.
Thank God.
And I've turned the one pair around the back of my head, then I can look up both ways. used to be people used chamois to hold the saddle in place.
Well, we always did. Well, with a racing saddle, but you
right.
Know.
But if you got an exercise saddle that slips, you got to. You know, some horses don't have withers, or for some reason. But you know what you do now? They sell this cloth for shelf lining. It's got holes in it, and it's kind of sticky, so it doesn't slide on the shelf.
Oh yeah,
and it comes in different colors. Yeah, and you use that now to keep the saddle. Better than a chamois, and you can rinse it out. And the chamois, you know, after a while, they fall apart.
Well, that came in style since we trained.
Well, I used it on that filly over there.
Oh, okay.
I pulled it off the shelf, slapped it on her, and off we went. The saddle never slipped.
Right. Okay. You going to do some announcements?
Should I do some announcements? Well, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association.
Oh.
Asked you to name this list here.
Dave, my buddy David Schweitzer.
Yeah,
too. All right. Now, this is a list of stakes winners over the weekend that were foaled in Kentucky, bred in Kentucky. And the winner of the Grade 2 John C. Mabee at Del Mar, Cozy Rosie, was bred by Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Mawson, foaled in Kentucky. The Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame stakes. That may be the longest name stakes name in the country. The National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame stakes. Anyway,
I don't know. I bet you there's one at Thistle Downs. It's got 14.
I haven't run across it. Anyway, Big Blue Kitten won that, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. They named a whole lot of them. Most of them are that stud horse. There's a lot of them are kittens, you know.
Yeah.
I think that was a nickname for his wife.
Oh, is that right?
I think that's right, yeah. The grade 2 Adirondack stakes, my Miss Aurelia won that, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Grade 3 Monmouth Oaks, Savvy Supreme, by Distorted Humor, bred by Brereton C. Jones and Racehorse Management. The Grade 3 Gardenia at Ellis Park went to Groupie Doll, bred by Fred and William Bradley. The Gleaming Stakes at Saratoga, Seal Cove, bred by Stuart S. Janney III. And the Lucy Scribner Stakes at Saratoga went to Cascadilla Falls, bred by Brant LaRue. What are you doing?
I was swatting a fly.
I thought so. Killer Instinct coming at you, swatting flies over there. The Hutu Stakes at Arlington went to Santina Don, bred by Brereton C. Jones. That's two for Brereton over the weekend. And he's got one more in here somewhere. The Candy Eclipse Stakes is Mammoth Susona, bred by Larry and Sharon Cunningham. The Washington Oaks went to Class Included by Include, bred by Michael and Amy Fearborn. The Cavalier Juvenile Stakes at Santa Rosa went to Longview Drive by Pulpit, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Robert Dupre Derbies at Santa Rosa went to Mr. Candy Bar, bred by Mr. and Mrs. N.B. Hunt, Nelson Bunker Hunt. The Band is Passing Stakes at Calder went to Flatter This by Flatter, bred by Warren and Jeannie Lister. The Arapahoe Park Classic, $50,000 stakes, so don't laugh at it. Tuck It to Me won it, bred by Barry and Judith Beckner. The Brian Barenshire Juvenile Stakes, that's a rough name for stakes, isn't it? The Brian Barenshire Juvenile Stakes at Canterbury went to Hoagie, bred by Dr. John Little. The Western Handicap at Northlands went to Footprint, bred by J.D. Squires. And here's Barry's other stakes winner, the Ontario Debutante Stakes at Woodbine 2, and the Wee won that one, and she's a half-sister to last year's Horse of the Year in Canada, Biofuel. So Barry Jones had three winners over the weekend. All right, Jackie.
Oh,
turn.
This is fun.
Wake up over there.
All right, this is fun. I was hanging on every word. This is a fun thing. Farm Managers Club 2011 Farm Manager of the Year is Sandy Hatfield.
Hey,
isn't
Sandy.
That neat? Yeah, she's of course,
she's a sweetie.
She is the nicest girl, and it's really wonderful. She's been manager at Three Chimneys of the Three Chimneys Stallions. Oh, Lord, for years. How long has she been there?
Jeb Magruder's bride.
Greg Magruder.
I mean Greg Magruder, yeah. Well, I forget him.
Yeah, forget him. Anyway, we got to go to this. The there'll be the Big Dinner Annual Award Dinner on September 30th at the Red Mile. That'll pack them in because she is such a nice girl.
Yeah, very popular
loves her.
Girl.
Yeah, she's from Colorado. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
I've
had her on the show.
Yeah. So anyway, she...
Ought to have her back, I guess, now that she's farm manager.
Oh, you should. Yeah. Call her up. Oh, yeah, that's fun. You know what she does that's amazing? She has done so much community work. Big Brothers and Big Sisters. She works for Kemi. And she's president of the Life Adventure Center of the Bluegrass. All kind of community service sort of things.
That's, taking care of Magruder is a full-time job.
Yeah, boy. Well, that too. She gets the award for that.
Yeah.
Okay, Masterson Equestrian Trust.
I haven't seen Greg in how long now? Gee whiz.
I don't know. I saw him not long ago, and he's on Facebook. We're Facebook friends.
Well, I don't go on Facebook.
He whined and carried on because his flights from Saratoga kept getting canceled. I think he spent 3 days in the airport or something. I don't know, but it didn't. A lot of people got stuck up there in the airports. It wasn't, you know, they were sending them everywhere just to move them. Okay, there is a clinic, Buck Branahan Clinic. This is Masterson Equestrian Trust. This one's in October. And September 25th is a work day at the park for volunteers and suggestions for projects. If you can make it out, help, you know, clean up and get the place ready for fall, it'd be great. Also, there's a Horse Aid Live combined test and dressage show on September 17th. Closing dates are September 7th. That's a lot of fun, too. Now, next is the Battle of the Bluegrass Equestrian Series. Now, what this is a bunch of people who have hunter-jumper facilities in central and northern Kentucky team up to allow competitors at their shows to work toward a year-end award. They have the series, about eight of them, run from April to November, 8 to 10. They're all Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association sanctions. So the next one, and one of the reasons I mentioned this was the McCauley Brothers is a big contributor to this. In fact, the next show coming up, August 27th, 28th, is the Northern Kentucky Center Horse Show in Verona, and the McCauley Brothers $150 Jumper Challenge. So, there you are.
Good for McCauley's.
Well, yeah.
Well, August 12th at Newmarket, Farhan, a two-year-old colt from the first crop by Jazzle, broke his maiden in impressive fashion, just his second start. He'd finished second, first time out, both races maiden specials, both at about 7 furlongs. He's the second winner from the first crop by Jazzle, the first one a maiden special first time out, sprinting just 5 furlongs. Now, Jazzle broke his maiden as a two-year-old aqueduct, but it was at 3 that he joined the ranks of classic winners, taking the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of the top-class Bluegrass Cat. This was after finishing a fast-closing second in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and fourth, another closing fourth in the Classic Kentucky Derby. He was a classic performer, and it's noteworthy that his first-crop two-year-olds are winning. And Mustanfar has a first-crop two-year-old winner in Mukamer, winner of his first start in a maiden special going 5 furlongs on August 12th. Mustanfar is by unbridled. He won graded stakes at Keeneland and Belmont, placed in 7 other graded stakes, including Grade 1 stakes, and he earned over $625,000. He was equally adept on dirt, grass, artificial. Jazzle and Mustanfar both stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right. Take care of our good friends over at Ralph Cool. What's Ralph doing these days?
Well, Ralph's just having a good time. Ralph is sending
Ralph always
pictures,
manages to have a good time.
Pictures from every place he eats and every place he goes, and rock concerts in Cincinnati, you know, kicking up his heels. Ought to know better. Anyway, what's fun about Quillen right now, about the leather store, you can find checkbook covers and belts and you name it, in, are you ready? Pink, red, blue, and green.
Wow.
Including shanks and stuff like that. They've also got silver tone stuff and all those colors, you know, and real shiny black, which is just kind of a fun thing. If you've got a friend that likes horses or, you know, does that sort of thing, that's a fun thing to order. And, of course, the sales and all, they've got catalog covers, and you can have those in any color you want. So it's just it's fun to go to Quillen, Quillin.com, and they're up to 17,000 halters a year now they're working on. Also, if you go on now, they used to ask people to send in their, you know, what they've done, what they bought, how they like it and stuff at Quillen, and one lady wrote in, she said she couldn't believe how she wanted something fixed or something changed or something. They sent it back. They fixed it. Everything. Just boom. Just like that.
Yeah.
And they even cleaned it up before they sent it back. So it's a top class place, Quillen Leather and Tack. It's in Paris. It's Third Light Inn. Let me give you their phone number in Paris. It's 987-0215. Or go to Quillen, Quillin.com.
Well, the grade $359,000 Mammoth Oaks was won last Saturday by Savvy Supreme, a 3-year-old filly by Distorted Humor, bred by Bird and C. Jones, sold as a weanling at Keeneland for $520,000. A stakes winner earlier this year at Belmont, Savvy Supreme is one of 15 2011 stakes winners by Distorted Humor, who, through August 13, ranked 6th on the 2011 sire list with the earners of over $5 million. He's ranked among the top 6 5 times in previous years, including number 2 last year. Distorted Humor stands at Windstar Farm, home also of his graded stakes-winning son, Sharp Humor. The first foals by Sharp Humor are 3-year-olds, and he is the sire of 5 stakes winners, plus another 10 to place in stakes in that first crop, including 7 that have won a place in stakes this year. He was the leading Kentucky-based sire of two-year-old winners in 2010 with 25, and he's the leading second-crop sire of stakes horses with 16. Sharp Humor won a pair of stakes in New York as a two-year-old, and at 3 won the Grade 2 Swale Stakes at Gulfstream. He was ahead bobbing second to Barbaro in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. So watch for yearlings by Distorted Humor and by Sharp Humor in upcoming sales. And for more information about the Windstar Stallions for 2012, contact Robert Hammond at 873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here.
All right, Jackie.
Okay, I have mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again. The NTRA, Daily Racing Forum, Quarter Horse Association in Keeneland, has put together something called Night School Fan Education Forum. Now, they run every Monday night on the web from 8:30 till 10 o'clock, co-hosted by Horse Player Now owners Jeremy Plunk and Joe Christofik. Okay. They're offered free to any racing fan. You want to learn more about the game. They will include novice and advanced level fan education. This runs through December 19th. And like I said, it's 8:30 to 10 if you want to log on. Last week was, I've forgotten about it because, you know, I get a note. And then last week was money management. So if you're going to play the horses, I guess money management is where you should start. All right, to Horse Park. This is the, what's going on now? United States Hunter Jumper Association International Hunter Derby Finals and the Bluegrass Festival Hunter Jumper Show. Next week is the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association Show. September 1st is the Bluegrass Classic Cluster Dog Show. I have no idea what that means. A classic cluster. I guess they get around in groups. I don't know. But there you are. Ah, TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, is having a pedigree and confirmation clinic Monday, October 10th. And Tuesday, October the 11th. It's a two-day clinic here in Lexington. Inbreeding, line breeding, outcrossing, nicking, and more. Clinic includes two farm tours. To register, go to TOBA.org. Or you can give them a call. The local number is 276-2291. Oh, also, this is fun. First Lady Jane Brashear is a wonderful horsewoman. And just like Michael said, she's so helpful to horse, you know, charities and stuff. Anyway, they have got a Horses and Hope trail ride. It's kind of tied in with cancer prevention and cure in women and stuff. And not only that, it's pretty in pink. Prizes are going to be awarded for the most pinked out riders and pinked out horses. So this thing, park opens at 9. They're going to register people at 10 o'clock. Did I say what day this was? Yes, I did. Sunday, September 18th from 11 to 3. You can pre-register August 18th. It's $50 pre-registering. It's $65 if you're there, and it's only going to take 250 people. So this thing will fill up pretty quickly, I think. The ride's over at 3, and they're going to have live music at the Alltech Arena and a barbecue following that, 4 to 6. 4 o'clock, a dinner program. Jane Brashear will be there with a welcoming and recognition of breast cancer survivors, and then they'll give the awards. That's really nice. She does tons of stuff. You also get a commemorative Horses and Hope pink ribbons, and the live music is Shades of Grass. It's an acoustic bluegrass band. I think acoustic means they're plugged in. You know, they play all the bluegrass instruments, but they're wired.
Beats me.
So, anyway, that's about me, if you want to.
Oh, okay. Well, Line of David is a Grade 1 stakes winner from a highly successful sire line, and he has successfully completed his first season at stud this year. Thank you, breeders. Line of David shipped into Oak Lawn Park following two front-running victories at Santa Anita, both of them on turf. The Grade 1 Arkansas Derby was his gold, and in his first start on dirt, he wired the field again to defeat the likes of Super Saver, who won the Kentucky Derby in his next start, Grade 1 winner Dublin, and Grade 1 stakes winner Noble's Promise. Line of David is from the second crop by Lionheart, a leading first crop sire and a son of Taylor the Cat, who currently ranks first on the juvenile sire list and eighth on the general sire list. Both Lionheart and his sire, Taylor the Cat, have sired Breeders' Cup winners. In fact, Lionheart is the sire of 20 stakes winners and over 40 stakes horses to date. This is, of course, the famed Stormcat sire line, and a Line of David's Dam, a daughter of leading sire, juvenile sire Capote, is from the female family of the great sire, Mr. Prospector. You're invited to visit Spendthrift Farm to inspect Line of David and the Spendthrift stands. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, I want to talk about my good friend Ron Wallace. Equine Farm Management is the name of his firm. He founded that firm back in 1995, and he did that to help farm owners, both new owners who have purchased the land and want to develop horse farms, or people in the business and want to improve their horse farms. He wants to fix it up where they can enjoy their horse farms more. And he does business with some people that you've heard of, I'm sure, from all across the nation. For instance, how about Paladis Investments up in New York, or Autumn Winds Farm in Illinois, the Live Oak Stud down in Florida, the Elm Tree Farm right here in Paris, Kentucky. I know you've heard of the Normandy Farm, famous Norm. That's where Fairplay's buried, incidentally. He's helped him out over there. Summer Wind Farm over on Georgetown. It's in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's right there on Ironworks Pike, almost to 62. But anyway, he has developed and managed many of these places. And he's got management experience. He came from, he's got a horse background, Judmont Farms and Three Chimneys, for instance. And he can do just about anything you want as far as setting it up and setting it up the right way. He can hire your people for you. He knows all the pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor. He knows who all the good builders are around here, the people you can trust. He can treat you right. He can work your payroll for you. He can even manage your farm. You need to call him and talk to him. And he's a nice guy, and once again, his website, let me give it to you, it's equinefarmmanagement.com. Name's Ron Wallace, and here's his cell phone number. It's an 859 number, 621-1655. And once again, that website, equinefarmmanagement.com. A little worried about this California. All righty. Well, let's see. We've got a guest coming in here in a few minutes. You've got another announcement you forgot? Oh, good.
Farm Managers Club Sporting Clays Classic is at the Elk Creek Hunt Club. That's next Saturday, August 27th. Team entry deadline is yesterday. Oh, go ahead and call them. They'll take you. Anyway, it's a big time. They always pack it. It's a good time. They have teams and shoot and individuals and all kind of stuff. Let me give you the phone number. It's a 948 number, 948-7321.
You know, we talked about what we were going to do earlier in the show, but then we just got off the track a little bit. And never did tell you what we were going to do.
What are we going to do?
Well, Dr. Doug Byers, of course, is in Ireland, so he's not going to be here today. Miss Doug. Michael Blowen's gone home, so you know about him. Michael Ewing, who's supposed to be here in about 5 minutes, and I hope she hadn't forgotten me. And we want to get in touch with Steve Moody, who's doing the handicap shoot now from Saratoga, because they're running the Alabama up there this today.
How much longer is Saratoga open?
I don't know. It goes up until Belmont opens.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Right. Got it.
Anyway, I'm not sure. The meeting's a whole lot longer. It used to be kind of a boutique meeting, but they've extended it now.
Yeah. And well, they got to get on all those New York bred races.
Yeah, and we're going to go back to 1957 and talk about a couple of three-year-olds that were racing there. We've done all the top ones, already. Bowl Ruler and Round Table and Iron Leeds and General Duke and but these are a cut below those, although one of them we're going to talk about is Vertex. And, I think he started 8 times, had 5 wins and 3 seconds as a three-year-old. But he raced mostly in New Jersey, which he was bred fold up in New Jersey. But I remember this horse real well, bred a mare to him. He stood over at Donata Farm out on Old Frankfort Pike back there when, I had his name on the tip of my tongue now, and I can't remember who was managing it now. Pup Endicott.
There you go.
Yeah, Pup. And he was standing there. Then big chestnut horse, liver chestnut. Good-looking horse. Man, he was a good-looking horse. And we'll be talking more about him when we get into 1958 because he was one of the top handicap horses in the country. In fact, he was probably the best handicapper in the East that year because the best in the West and was Round Table, of course. And a lot of Round Table races were confined to grass, and Round Table was virtually unbeatable on the grass, although they got him with the weight every now and then, you know.
Yeah.
And but Vertex was a front runner, and boy, he was a nice horse. Guy that owned him was from New Jersey and had a car dealership up there. We might talk about him a little bit. Also, Manto is another one that was ranked up there pretty high. Manto was by Citation one of the better Citations, not the best one, but one of the better Citations. And we'll talk a little bit about him. Then we're going to read some Joe Palmer also when the time comes. No, I don't have her number, but you will see what's we'll see what happens, but we'll go on to the top of the hour and do our little spots, and then we'll go from there. How's that? Well, August 12th at Presque Isle, the $75,000 Malvern Rose Stakes was won by prize winner, three-year-old filly. She is by Pure Prize. Never off the board in six starts. Prize winner is the 29th stakes winner by Pure Prize, a list which includes five Grade 1 stakes winners and six 2011 stakes winners. One of the best-bred stallions in the world. Pure Prize is by Stormcat out of the champion Heavenly Prize by Seeking the Gold. He stands at Vinery, Kentucky. I have to say Kentucky now because Vinery has world-class facilities not only in Kentucky but in New York and in Florida. And they are well-equipped to satisfy your needs in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Boarding, breeding, sales prep, sales, breaking, training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services. And be sure to inquire about Vinery's successful racing partnerships. So just give my friend John Gasper a call out there, Francis Relihan, Grant Williamson, Steve Castanola. I'd call Francis if I was you. She's by far the cutest of the bunch. And 455-9388 is the number. And check the website at vinery.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, included side through August 13, the winners of $3,683,469 this year ranks among the top 20 on the general sire list, just below Dinah Farmer and just above Tisnow. Now, that's good company. Listed among his 2011 stakes winners are St. John's River, winner of the Grade 2 $300,000 Delaware Oaks, following a fast-closing second in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. She goes today in the Grade 1 Alabama. Also listed are Her Smile, winner of the Grade 1 $250,000 Prior Stakes at Belmont, and class included a three-year-old filly bred in Kentucky by Michael and Amy Fuhrborn, who won the Washington Oaks last Saturday. She's finished 1-2 in her seven starts, with two stakes wins. include and sired four Grade 1 Stakes winners plus six others that have placed in Grade 1 Stakes. And, of course, that filly wins the Alabama today. You can make that five Grade 1 Stakes winners. So, if you want to compete at the highest level, take a good look at the Include yearlings at the upcoming sales. Include won Grade 1 Stakes himself. He earned over $1,659,000, and he's by Champion Sire Broadbrush. He stands in Mr. Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. Remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me.
Well, we start in the second hour of the Horse Tales, and my interview has just arrived, and that would be Michael Ewing. I know absolutely nothing about Michael except that she's very congenial. Her horses look good. She's got a pony that everybody wants out here, that gray pony that you've got, Michael. You've got two ponies, though. It's a two-pony stable.
It's a two-pony stable. Wow. Yep, one to go and one to rest. That's how it's.
Is that
sort of like the Jaguars? They used to say, you know, one to drive and one to have in the shop.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what it is.
I'm glad we don't have any Jaguar sponsors here.
Well, good thing.
Yeah, right. It's good to cheer up here. You want a Coke or something?
No, thank you. I'm just fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I know you're from California, too.
From California, born and raised, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But loving it in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So we bought a house here last year. After many years of renting, last several years have been coming back from California. We'd come back about mid-March, run at Keeneland in the spring, mm-hmm. and then run at Churchill. Although last year we went to Monmouth Park,
okay.
and were there for that meet, and then came back, ran at Keeneland in the fall, and then go home to California for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the first time you've been at the training center, though.
Well, last year I was here just a couple weeks after the fall meet at Keeneland.
Uh-huh.
And then I came out here, subleased some stalls, and we stayed a couple of weeks. I stayed to run a horse at Churchill Downs. He was about ready, so I wanted to run him before we went back to California. So we were here a couple of weeks, and it got a little cold. For a Californian, it was a little cold.
What part of California are you from?
Southern California.
Southern?
Pasadena. Yeah.
Oh, well,
right near Santa Anita.
Yeah, that's L.A.
Yeah, L.A.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's 60, we think we're freezing. So,
yes.
You know, when it was 25, I thought, oh, I got to head west. This is cold.
Well, where did you buy here in Lexington?
We bought actually right over by Keeneland. It really kind of a long walk if you wanted to walk, which I don't. And, it's right, if you go out of the Keeneland gates and turn to the right going towards Versailles, right up Versailles Road, there's a little development to the right at the flashing lights called sort of past Rice Road, past Rosalie Road, and then Westmoreland. So right there, very close.
Oh, yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, uh-huh. We used to have a friend, Ralph Hacker, who managed one of the radio stations around here, lived out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, now I know where. Yeah, it's a nice neighborhood.
Nice neighborhood. We think it's fabulous because, you know, in California, you can reach out and touch someone, your neighbors right there, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to see them, you can't avoid them.
Yeah.
You just, so we have, we wanted something we could close up and go. So we have just a house, no farm, but an acre of land, which we think is like, you know, a big farm.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice. And we back up to a farm that fronts on Versailles Road. I think it's Johnny Depp's mother's farm. That's what everyone tells me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No,
oh, it's haunted.
Oh, well, I'm learning a lot now. Johnny Depp's an actor, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. You
I would know that from Holly, being from that area.
Okay.
That's right.
From California. Well, let me ask you, going back a couple of years now, how did you get interested in horses? Was your family from California? I mean,
families?
Were interested in horses?
No. They were always hopeful that I would outgrow it. I was the, my parents, my dad actually was born in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And then he was raised from the age of 9 on out in California, Southern California. My mother's born and raised Southern California, and so was I. I was the first of five. My father played football for UCLA.
Oh, really?
Played in the Rose Bowl, and, you know, to this day, that's the glory days. So he thought he'd have a bunch of kids and field a football team.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great chauvinist.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a great chauvinist, God will give you girls.
Yeah.
Because unless you want to support them all your life, you're going to change a little bit. So
is that why I named you Michael?
That's it.
Okay.
Just, that's it. Michael. Then I have a sister a year younger, Sydney. S-Y-D-N-E-Y, which used to be a boy's name in the 19th century.
Yeah,
now it's more
cities.
Common. Yeah. And then my beloved brother was born. He's the saint. And so he's not named Sue. but he was, by that time, those, you know, football players were a lot bigger, and he's not quite big enough. He was a great athlete,
yeah,
but not quite big enough, really, for football. And then we had my dad had two other girls. But no one ever was interested in horses or followed the races. And
you did or didn't?
No, nobody.
Well,
and I was a little girl. I had a neighbor who had a pony.
Uh-oh.
And when I was about five, I just would go out with her. I begged my mother for riding lessons. So I started riding in pony club when I was about 5, 6 years old.
Ah.
And one of those kids that just pretty soon, as I got a little older, every waking moment was my mother dropped me off at the barn, you know, and hang out. We'd clean stalls, braid manes, mm-hmm. you know, ride anything just to be around the horses. We'd do it all for free, you know. And as I grew up, you know, I was taking care of horses and braiding manes at shows and anything to make extra money. And I'd always have some teacher that I was riding with who'd, you know, then take me under her wing and put me up on other show horses. I didn't have my own horse, I think, till I was probably 17. And then,
But you were showing horses.
Showing horses.
Yeah.
Showed
what kind?
Hunters and jumpers.
Oh, hunter jumpers.
Yeah. And then when I was about 17, 18... I got into quarter horses, and I showed quarter horses for years, everything. I showed trail horses, reining horses, Western pleasure horses, English pleasure horses, halter, I mean, everything, driving. Then that went on. I showed paint horses, and then I really kind of concentrated on the reining, showed reiners for years. And when I met my husband, he married me and the horses, and was always supportive, but thought going to a horse show was like watching paint dry, so he never would come.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd go to the World Finals in Oklahoma City or all over the country. He never did come. He was very supportive, but he'd say, hey, go have a great time. Good luck, you know.
Yeah.
Never knew how many we had, just, you know. And so what? But he's a great sportsman, my husband, in general. And one day we happened to be at Santa Anita at the races. And we were a guest of maybe a company that was a client of his. And we were up there in the director's room. They were doing some party. And this is probably about 12 years ago. And we met Bob Hess, who's a trainer in California.
Yeah.
And Jim and he are talking. Well, it turns out our kids are in the same school. And my husband looks at me and says, well, you know, I'd like to get a racehorse. And I said, racehorse? You don't even come to the track. You know, he says, oh, I love racing. I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, no, he used to come to the track all the time as a kid, sneak in, you know, bet
on
horses.
Where was he from? California?
Right there, Arcadia, like
several
blocks away from Santa Anita.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I even ever knew he went to the races. So we got our first racehorse with Bob Hess, a two-year-old he bought in the Ocala sale.
Went all the way to Florida to buy it.
Yep, a little bird on the wire. Bob came home with it, thinking, I think, with us in mind, and called us up. So we went out to look at this colt, and it was my first experience on the backside. And I remember he was sort of kind of being silly, you know, walking around in the tow ring before they went to the track and rearing up, and it was an ugly little thing. And I thought, oh, you know, boy, they really don't get these horses very broke. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it a different perspective. But then I really got fascinated, and I thought, well, I can't be just a spectator. I have to figure this racing out. So I started, you know, hanging around in the barn. I'm sure I was a pain in Bob Hess's side at the beginning. And I just would do anything. And pretty soon, you know, I was hot walking, grooming. It just went on and on. Pretty soon, I have no time to ride my show horses and don't want to go to a show because I'm so enthralled with the racing. So over time, I end up selling all my show horses. I kept one reiner. I thought I'd pony on him. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting experience. But anyway.
Let me interrupt you for a second, pay a bill here, and then we'll get right back to you.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, last Saturday, a caller of the Band of Passing Stakes was won by Flatter This, a 4-year-old, a colt. He's by Flatter, bred in Kentucky by Warren and Jeannie Lister. A typical Flatter. Flatter This is placed in two other stakes at Calder. There's one in Top Allowance Company at Gulfstream. He's competed on dirt and grass, and he's a superior mutter. He joins a long list of stakes winners by Flatter, a list that includes Tar Heel Mom, recent winner of the Grade 2 Honorable Miss Stakes at Saratoga, and of over $788,000 to date. Flat Out, winner this year of the historic Grade 2 Suburban, second in the Grade 1 Whitney, and earner of over $509,000 to date, and a part. Winner of the 2011 running of the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Memorial at Pimlico, placed in three other graded stakes this year, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster. He has earned over $695,000. So if you want to run in your racing stable, take a close look at the Flatter yearlings at the upcoming sales. A full brother to last year's leading freshman sire, congrats by AP Indy, out of praise by Mr. Prospector. Flatter stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam to see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Sunday in France, Meloodles, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Scat Daddy, broke her maiden in impressive fashion. She's the 7th winner from Scat Daddy's first crop. They've won in France, in Ireland. A first-time starter named Daddy Longlegs won over there, trained by Aidan O'Brien. At Delaware, Belmont, Churchill, and another of Churchill Downs that has won, had gone on to place in graded stakes at Saratoga and at Ellis Park. Scat Daddy is the number 2 ranked freshman sire, with 10 others that have placed 6 in their very first starts. So he has dead aim on number 1. Ranked number 1 among all sires on the juvenile sire list is Taylor the Cat, with 10 winners, 2 stakes winners. Ranked number 1 on the general sire list for Money One and for number 2011 stakes winners, he's got 17 stakes winners this year, Giant's Causeway. Taylor the Cat ranks 8th on the general sire list for Money One. He is the sire of 8 2011 stakes winners. Fusi Ichi Pegasus is 11th. He also has 8 2011 stakes winners, and Grand Slam ranks 16th. He has 9 stakes winners this year. Scat Daddy, Giant's Causeway, Taylor the Cat, Fusi Ichi Pegasus, Grand Slam. Standard Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. You in now, who's from California, and she's been just, I left her hot walking with Bob Hess out there, and we're going to get back to her little story. And where did you go from there then?
Well, my little story, you know, I'm a talker, so just shut me off here, but to make it quick, so I did, you know, just work my way up in the barn, although we had, and we ended up over time, you know, we had more horses with Bob, and I got out of showing, and I was just at the track, you know, all day, doing whatever, and eventually, I got my trainer's or assistant trainer's license, and I would take my horses to Bob's off barn, and I ran his off barns. He'd always have his main barns at Santa Anita, and then he'd had one at Hollywood Park. I'd run that. Mm-hmm. And then when he started coming back here about 6 years ago, I would bring my horses that I wanted to bring here and, you know, his customers as assistant trainer.
Yeah.
So I would run the off barn. So, and that's how it went, and I learned a lot. And
what good horses did he have at that time? He's had a bunch of them down through the years.
Oh, he did. Well, we had Chinese Dragon that was at the time that was the stakes winner, really nice horse. And numerous. I'm going to have to sit and think because I have a terrible memory. Just really going that.
I used to have a good memory, but now I forget.
I was going to say a CRS disease or something, I had a good mare in 07, actually. She was undefeated in sprints. We ran her one time long, and we won the Princess Rooney with her, River's Prayer.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going on to the Breeders' Club. Hopefully that year it was at Monmouth, but didn't work out. She hurt herself a couple weeks right before. So.
Was she your filly?
I owned her with a couple of partners, but it was Bob that turned me, pointed her out and turned me on to her. She was... had just run a couple of times and looked very promising. And actually, Paula Capestro owned her and trained her, and Paula wanted to sell half. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that worked out that she obviously she sold half and wanted to train the filly. So I think Bob was hoping, of course, that he would get the filly. But that just didn't work out since Paula kept half. But so that was I thought I was pretty lucky. We'd been in it about 7 years, and we had a grade one winner and a great filly. And
a lot of people go a lifetime without that.
Absolutely. So I felt really fortunate. But
What was she by?
She was by Devon Lane, which is a horse, I think he stands in New Mexico now, and out of a Cosine mare. Devon Lane was, I believe, by Stormcat. And she, when she hurt herself, we sold her in the Keeneland November sale to Jess Jackson. So I think she has a filly actually going through the... sale this year, and
September
we had one. Had one go through last year, but so she was a nice mare. So
she's in good hands. Yeah,
still working towards. I'd like to have another Grade One winner. That would be really nice. But as all things come full circle, we have our own horses. We have several, and I've been, assistant trainer for Bob for numerous years, and I just decided it was time to go on my own. So last October, I decided to branch out on my own, and so I took my own horses and Keeneland here last year.
Is that when you started?
That's when I started. So,
and then that where'd you go during the winter?
Then we went home to California.
Went
back to California. Yeah. And then this year we'll do that again and run at Santa Anita, Hollywood and Santa Anita.
Yeah. Now your husband's, you've got a home there too?
Yeah, that's our base and my family's there. And so my husband's business is there, but he comes back and forth quite a bit. He can work from Kentucky with phone, fax, internet, email, very simply, very easily. He was here from April to June, got a little warm, so he went back to California.
Well, where were you doing the summer, Monmouth?
Last year, but no, here I was at Keeneland until the end of July, and then we came over here because, of course, we have to get out of Keeneland for the sale.
Yeah, right, I understand that. Yeah, I just wondered where, you were stabled over there all summer long and raced around here and everything.
Yeah, well, I haven't had too many starts because I have a lot of babies and two-year-olds. And so, in fact, actually, they're about ready to run now. We'll have our first baby going here at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And then they're all ready to run now. So we're just looking for races now, and we'll be...
You don't breed horses. You buy them.
I like to buy, yearlings generally. Okay. I buy in the yearling sales.
Uh-huh. So. Where?
Here at Keeneland.
Do you?
At Keeneland, yeah.
And then, where do you take them after you buy them? Where do you board them?
Well, I have a dear friend in Ocala, and they have a beautiful farm, and she breaks does a great job. She and her husband break horses. Carolyn Webster, her husband Rob, and they do a great job down in Florida, and then I have her send them up to me here in March.
Okay.
When we get back here.
So they winter in Florida and then come up here?
The yearlings, and she breaks them. Got them up here, so.
Yeah, so how many two-year-olds you got?
Well, for me, it's five. for me, that's a lot, five two-year-olds.
Oh,
and then I have some older, nice horses. I've got a couple three-year-olds, that's also haven't started, that one's just ready to start. She was all ready to start here in January at Santa Anita, and they had the lovely new dirt track, and she popped a knee there, so we had to...
Boy, that thing was fast.
Back off.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that thing out there, the factor in three quarters?
Yeah,
is it two-year-old
yeah,
and
Yeah. I took her up there. I was still down at the training center. I thought, well, I'll take her up there. And the week before, she was going to run and mm-hmm. work her there and gallop over the track, see how she does the haul and so forth. And we worked her not too fast because I knew that. And sure enough, though, she'd had a knee coming in. I thought, well, I'd get a race or two into her before we had to stop and take a chip out. But... Mm. No, it didn't work that way. Here we are, a week off, and had to take a chip out. So she's ready to go, too, now.
Who helps you pick your yearlings?
You know, often I've kind of done it over the years myself and had a system. And over the years, I'd work with Bob as well. And, in fact, I'd sort of go off and for years for Bob Hess, I'd go off and look at everything and sort of we'd wean it down to –
Yeah,
it's 30 or whatever. He'd fly in and look at those, and then kind of cull from there. But
what do you look for
this year? Devant Latham helped me quite a bit last year. Yeah, Devant's great. He's great. I was really busy with the house, so and I just couldn't look at everything. So I came up with the sires I wanted to look at. You know, sires that were not the real, you know, high dollar poppy, the newbies, sires that had produced proven babies and were standing at a reasonable price, and babies would sell. You know, maybe around, you know, under 100 anyway, you know, around 50 or 60.
Well, and, who were they?
Well, Mizzen Mast. I have a nice Mizzen Mast filly, yes. you know, just good solid sires. I bought an E-Dubai. I bought, the year before that, let's see. Well, I bought an Indian Charlie that I just adore, I love. But
yeah, boy, he's been a top stud.
Yeah. But he was, I think the only way I got him, he was a late June baby, and he was small, so... But
that's all right. Give him a little time.
And then I brought a song and a prayer, and she's the first. She'll be ready to run here just in a week. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I think we'll go to Hoosier, and then I've got a Broken Vow filly, big filly, nice filly, ready to run, doing great. I mean, she's not nearly as good as she'll be next year. Big filly has a lot of growing to do, but she's sound. Her mind is good. She's ready to go. So. We'll run.
Yeah, why not?
She needs a little experience, so.
Yeah.
You know.
So. I like those kind of horses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're proven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and solid. But you know, I'm fairly conservative. You know, I don't like to rush the babies because I just there's to me, yeah, there's enough problems. The tough part is keeping them sound. It's just keeping them sound. And enough problems, you know, you really push those two-year-olds. Maybe you get a few races and you don't have anything left. So I'm not, obviously you'd like to run as soon as you can because, you know, we don't all want to go down the tubes financially. But I just won't press if they're not ready or they mentally or physically.
So what do you have in your stable now, 7 or 8 or something like that?
Yep, I've just got... Nine. I've got a customer, and I have one customer. Woohoo! One customer. Everybody, you know, assumes I'm owner trainer, but I'd like to take some outside babies, horses, and then I've got a couple out on layup. You know, a couple that just had little issues that still.
Yeah. Where do you, around here?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you send
mm-hmm.
them to?
Well, they're over at just resting over at Sheltowee Farm with Mike Evans, and Todd Fisher.
Okay.
Right. And so they do a great job, and they're just, you know, getting some turnout right now and rest, growing up. And
are you getting to know people around here now and
Know
your way around a little bit?
Yeah. I love Lexington. I think we'd be here pretty much all the time, except for the winter. If not, you know, I still have family in California and so forth. I mean, I think to myself that I'd like to go to maybe New Orleans or Florida for the winter.
Yeah,
but
it
doesn't make sense because we still have a house in California.
Well, that's right.
Family
and now
there.
That you've bought a house here.
So you know, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah,
but I'd like to try running it. Well, maybe next year or something. I'm still thinking about it. I haven't decided really where we'll go.
I've got to take another break. Got to pay the bills, you know.
Absolutely, I
find
know.
Out where in the heck I am here. Oh, I'm going. Oh, okay. Two yearlings, both fillies from the first crop by First Defense. were offered in the opening session of the recent Fazy Tipton New York Bred preferred sale. Jim Maloney bid $120,000 for one, and the other went to Kenny McPeak for $60,000. They're in good hands. Now, First Defense is sign quality individuals, and he has all the prerequisites for sire success. He had brilliant speed. He sprinted 7 furlongs and 124 at Belmont, 121 and 2 at Saratoga, 122 and 1 at Churchill. He won stakes around 2 turns. He won Grade 1 stakes, taking the Grade 1 4-goal at Saratoga. And he has a great pedigree, a pedigree loaded with Grade 1 winners and successful sires. First Defense is by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to the Grade 1 sires, Empire Maker and Chester House. Out of Grade 1 stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Toussaint. Now that's a great pedigree. Stands at Judmont Farm. With the Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mast, inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about a good friend of mine, Tom Biedemann. Biedemann Real Estate and Brokerage. Now, on Saturday, August the 27th, it is an absolute auction on 1409 Woodlake Road over in Scott County. And the property has 560 acres. Now, that's what you need, 560 acres.
A little bit much.
Don't ask me to mow for you. It's surrounded by Elkhorn Creek, and it's great land over there, just outside Stamping Ground, Kentucky, in one of the most fertile regions of Scott County. It's 20 minutes from Midway and are the Kentucky Horse Park. It's an absolute auction. They're selling in 3 tracks, 171, 107, and 79, or might as well say 80. And so it's really a neat place, and that's BiedemannBrokerage.com. If you want to talk to Tom, give him a call at 277-2030, and he always has great listings for sale. And go to his website. It's fun just going there and look around and pretend like you know what you're looking at. That's what I do. And once again, it's Tom Biedemann, Biedemann Brokerage. Let me spell Tom's name for you, BIEDERMAN, brokerage.com, number 277-2030. And speaking about mowing, talk about our good friend, Jackie's my good friend, Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm, who, bless his heart, does our mowing for us. I think he feels sorry for us old folks.
Whatever.
Whatever it takes, Jim. Jim owns Knott Griffin Farm, which is he's a neighbor of ours over in Bourbon County. And, of course, he's a native of Ireland. He came up under Dr. Michael Osborne and John Williams over at Spendthrift and Lee Eaton, and three of the world's great horsemen right there, and so is Jim. Jim's owned Knott Griffin for, since 1994. Got another farm close by named Harper's Island. It's just 10 minutes away. And so for boarding or sales prep or sales, either public or private, or rehab, well, he's your man. Quality farm help, he wouldn't have anything but the best. So he'd give you some good, sound, common sense advice. That's Jim Fitzgerald at knockgriffinfarm.com. Let me spell Knott Griffin for you. KnockGriffin, farm.com, 987-8032.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Michael Ewing, who's out from California, and I can't keep up with her, she moves around so much, she's good. Well, right now, she's here at the Thoroughbred Center, where I got to know her, and what do you think of this training center?
I think it's fabulous. It's great. I think one of the reasons I'm here from California, you know, we don't really have this in California anymore. There's no public training centers. There's no, a lot of the racetracks are closing. The land is too valuable. Hollywood, if not for the recession, Hollywood Park would have closed and would now be retail development. Yeah. And it's still in the works to close. And then we'll have Santa Anita. I know they're developing a portion of the Barrett's of Pomona Fairplex, and they had talked about it as being an alternative site, maybe they'd for racing, and that they would you know, increase the size. Right, yeah. And increase the size of the turf course and do some work, and then that it seems that all went down the tubes, and now they're actually taking some of the barns and some of the Barrett's facility. I don't know how much, like 9 or 11 barns, and they're going to trying to get it permitted and do some kind of industrial center right there. So they're just all leaving in San Luis Rey, which is the one public training center that's really nice in Southern California. They stopped subsidizing that, and it's close to closing. I don't know if they'll keep it open, which is a great facility. But, you know, when Hollywood Park closes, and if they close San Luis Rey, there's not going to – they can't take everybody at Santa Anita, you know. And what about all the people who can't get stalls? Where do you go? There's going to be nowhere. They say Del Mar, maybe, but that's down the road. You don't know. I used to show at Del Mar, and I'll tell you what, as a year-round facility, they'd have to do a lot of work because a lot of those barns there flood in the winter. And then they have the fair and all that kind of stuff that goes on. They use a portion of the track. I don't know how that would work. And so I don't think they're really thinking ahead, really. And, for instance, me this year, you know, I couldn't get stalls at Santa Anita, so I went to San Luis Rey. It was still open. But that's a two-hour drive every day for me, back and
forth.
You're
still going back this winter, though.
Well, I'm hoping to get stalls at Santa Anita or Hollywood Park. Mm-hmm. And one or the other.
Well, you can stay here and run a Turfway.
I could. You know, I have so many fake parts, so many replaced parts that I'll tell you, that cold comes in and I feel like I'm walking around and I need an oil can. You know? I feel like the Tin Man. That cold gets right in those joints and so forth.
That's what a lifetime being around horses will do to you.
Yeah. But, and who knows? We may well winter back here and start at some point, or, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And stay all the way and run through Churchill Downs anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see. But we have options. But I think that's part of the thing about California is it's just a little more conducive back here. I know Kentucky has its own problems, horse racing, and the market's contracting and so forth. But here you have options. There's still training centers where you can go. There's a lot of tracks within a drivable distance.
Yeah.
In California, if there's not a race for you at Santa Anita, you can go to Golden Gate, which is now not open all year. And
that's a
6 to 7 hour drive. And after that,
I thought it'd be more than that.
There's not really anything. I mean, you'd have to be on a plane other than Turf Paradise, which is, you know, a good six. And you don't want to go there.
No, it's hot down there. Well, of course, they don't race in the summer.
But there's just not a lot of options, you know.
Well, you know, if you're here and if you want to go somewhere in winter, I mean, if you're living here, if you decide to move here, you can go to Florida, you know.
Sure,
and
exactly.
Down there, you know.
Exactly.
A lot of people now going to Tampa.
Right.
I know a lot of people from here go to Tampa. But most of the people here, I don't know if you figured it out yet, most of them stay the year round.
Yeah, I know. I'm amazed at how many do, and that's great. And they train all year, absolutely. Or it's kind of let down a little bit in the winter. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, great places, great racing.
Yeah.
Just a little easier here, I think, and more conducive to. And we love it. I love getting away from the rat race in California, quite frankly.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, let's to brag a little bit on this track, on this surface here. It's a safe surface.
Yes, that's right.
And we lost one day of training in the last 2 years. And
it was cold.
Yeah. And nasty, you know, it gets, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's getting nasty here. But we've got a great track man, Harold Reed, and he knows his track better than he knows his wife, believe me. And
well, the track has a great reputation. I mean, when I've been here, everyone says the track is safe, the track is great. I know you have a lot of winners off this track.
Yeah.
And I think the surface is great. Mm-hmm. Really great.
You can get a whole fit here now.
You bet. So it's going to be interesting to see as we go off and run. So, been really happy here. We've subleased a barn.
You've got one of the new barns.
Yes, and it's terrific. Yeah.
Who are you in with down there?
Kellen Gorder.
Kellen's a nice guy.
Yes. Yeah. So, that worked out great. We're very comfortable. And I'm a little anally retentive, and I hate not knowing where to go or, you know, have everything up in the air. And, you know, when you're a small barn, you can't split your barn. You know, tracks want horses that are running, but you always have horses that are maybe just not quite ready, or they're just beginning their works or whatever. But you can't, you know, you can't put three over here and four at the racetrack. Yeah. That doesn't work. Yeah. So, you know, training center is a great place to be. You can chip wherever you want, no hassles. And so when you don't have these kinds of options, you know, it's a little tougher, especially if you're a small barn. But here you come, you bring everything in, and then run from here, and you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
We like it.
Good. I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, that's all right. Ursel, thank you for having me.
Well,
you've been the great deal about being here at the training centers. Been fun listening to your stories, and
my life.
It's not over either, so we'll be here quite a bit longer. So
don't believe anything I say.
All right, I won't. Well, thanks for having me,
Michael. You and I.
Thank you.
I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks.
And we'll see you
tomorrow
in the clocker stand.
Yeah. You bet.
No, I don't.
Not tomorrow.
I don't clock on Sunday. All right.
We'll see you Monday, Tuesday.
Talk to you later, Michael. Tuesday.
Thank you.
Well, August 12 at Newmarket. Did you get a hold of my friend Moody, by the way? He didn't answer his phone. Wake up, Steve. Lord have mercy. Well, August 12 at Newmarket, Farhan, a two-year-old colt in the first crop by Jazzle, broke his maiden in impressive fashion. In his second start, he'd finished second in his first start. Both races, maiden specials, both at about 7 furlongs. He's the second winner from the first crop by Jazzle. The first won a maiden special sprinting 5 furlongs. So Jazzle broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Aqueduct, so he was fairly precocious, but it was at 3 that he joined the ranks of classic winners, taking the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of the top-class runner Bluegrass Cat. This was after finishing a fast-closing second in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and fourth in the Classic Kentucky Derby. He was a classic performer, and it's noteworthy that his first crop of two-year-olds are winning. And Mustanfar had a first crop two-year-old winner in Mookamare. Now, winner of his first start in a maiden special going 5 furlongs on August 12th, and Mustanfar is bound bridle. And he, Mustanfar, won graded stakes at Keenan and Belmont, placed in 7 other graded stakes, including grade one stakes, earned over $625,000. He was equally adept on dirt, grass, and artificial. Jazzle and Mustanfar both stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
By Artie Schiller, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, beating Leroy Lasanamo, are 3-year-olds, and he's the sire of 8 stakes horses in his first crop. His Ann Beauty, winner last year of the $149,000 Glorious Song Stakes at Woodbine, has won the $157,000 Duchess Stakes this year. Mr. Commons, after placing in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, won the $122,000 Oceanside at Del Mar. Bears Chill won the $155,000 Queenston Stakes at Woodbine. Parting Words is placed in the Grade 2 Sands Point at Belmont Park. 4 others have placed in stakes. That's 8 stakes horses, and 7 of the 8 have won or placed in stakes this year. Artie Shillo, in addition to winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, won 6 other stakes. 5 of them graded, and he earned over $2 million. He's by Cyrus Sires El Prado Galileo. Sire of winners of both the Grade 1 Arlington Million and Grade 1 Secretary last Saturday, and Medaglia d'Oro are both sired by El Prado. Artie Shillo is out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Hidden Light by Majestic Light, out of Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 Stakes producer Talatu. It's a superb family. Artie Shillo at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Heading down the highway, happy tears running both eyes. Thinking of my
all righty. Excuse me, Arthur. All right.
And Lord, I'm flying.
Arthur and his son, incidentally, that's Arthur Hancock at this little bump of music there, were the featured entertainers the other night down at Clay's restaurant in Paris. And I doggone it, I didn't know about it. So I called Arthur the other day and I said, don't you dare go down there again without letting me know, because I love bluegrass music and Arthur's very good. And they tell me his son is too. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Vertax, who was, we're going back to 1957 now, 3 year olds in 1957. Vertax was Chestnut Colt. He was a liver chestnut, by the way. He was by the Rhymer out of Canace, by Cases. Bred and owned by Frank Pierulli and trained by J.F. Pierulli. Frank was on the chain of service stations up in New Jersey. Been in the horse business for about 15 years. When Vertex came along, and Vertex was his first stakes winner. As a two-year-old, he was lightly raced. In three starts, he had two wins, and in his other, he ran fourth in the World's Playground Stakes. Our Joy won it. Of course, it was at Atlantic City. Came back as a three-year-old in eight starts. He had five wins, 3 seconds, and a zero thirds. Well, he couldn't be. He was first and second in all eight of his starts, and he was ranked... at 119 pounds on experimental handicaps, equal weight with Manto and Promised Land. Manto was Son of Citation. Promised Land was by Palestinian. And below, of course, Bull Ruler, Gallant Man, Roundtable, General Duke, Iron Leeds, Clem, Federal Hill. So he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, co-7th top weight on there. Just above Ben Lohman, who was an imported horse by Listedon, co-host, who was by Mahmood, and Mr. Jive, who was by Mr. Music out of Joy Forever. I remember Mr. Jive very well. Let's go back to Vertex's three-year-old year. He made his first start on May the 30th of his three-year-old year. That's May 30th, my birthday. Easy win at 6 furlongs. 2 weeks later, he ran second to The Crack in the select handicap at Monmouth Park. Yeah, made a nice run, closed 4.5 lengths going down the stretch, just got beat. August the 3rd, he was a little stretch there before he came back. He ran him 1 1/8 in the Choice Stakes, and he missed the track record by just 1/5 of a second that day. Led all the way. He won by 7 lengths, beating Dark Trust and Inswept. Came back on the 24th of August at Atlantic City and ran second by neck to Ben Lomond in the Ventnor Turf Handicap. Led to the wire. He was given the winner 6 pounds, just got beat a neck. September the 2nd, he won the 1 1/8 boardwalk handicap at Atlantic City. He sprinted to a 6th-length lead in the first quarter, and then he just coasted through the final furlong, won by 2 lengths, beating a pretty nice horse named Assemblyman. Last start of the year, he came in the Romer handicap, going 1 3/6 at Jamaica on... It was up in November. He carried top weight of 123 pounds. He had a lead in on a far turn and then stopped and finished second. Got beat 3 lengths by Promised Land. And after the race, it was discovered that he had thrown a shoe on his left forefoot and had torn away about a half of an inch of the wall of the hoof. So he was through for the year. He went on to become the best handicapped horse in the East, so we'll be talking the next year. And was a very good sire, standing over at Donata Farm out on Old Frankfort Pike, part of the old Idlehour farm that had been sold off to Dan and Ada L. Rice. But we'll talk about more about Vertex back when we get to 1958, if I live that long. The Rhymer, who was the sire of Vertex, stood up east. He was by St. Germans. St. Germans, a foal in 1938. He was by Swinford. And he had been a good racehorse. He'd won the Widener, the Edgemere Handicap, the Queens County Handicap. And he sired some pretty good horses. Tuscany, who won the Toboggan, the Ocean Four Handicap, and the Boardwalk Handicap, who won the Salvatore Mile. Won the Maryland Futurity. He had 16 wins. Blue Rhymer was by the Rhymer, so was Devil's Verse and Singing Beauty. Won the Barbara Fritchie and the Mermaid. Rare Music, and won the Columbiana. St. Germans had fertility problems. He lived to be age 26 when he died, but he only sired during his entire career 180 foals, 23 stakes winners. And he was a leading sire in 1931. Now, that was 20 grand's year, when 20 grand was a three-year-old. Of course, 20 grand was the champion three-year-old of his year. He won both the Belmont Stakes and the Kentucky Derby. He set a new track record in the Derby, which stood until Whirlaway broke it in 1941. And he ran second in the Preakness to Mate. That year, they ran the Preakness prior to the Derby, incidentally. And but he ran second to Mate. Mate went to stud over at Clarkland Farm. 20 grand was had inherited the St. German's disease. He was completely sterile. They put him back in training and sent him out to California for the first Santa Anita handicap out there. It didn't work out. He just wasn't the same horse, and I think that was the only time he might have run twice out there. But he didn't get anything, so they took him back, and I guess they gilded him because he was turned out with some other gildings over here on Green Tree Stud, here on the Paris Lexington Road, and they called him the Gas House Gang. And anyway, that was 20 grand. I might read about the Gas House Gang when we get over here, get to if I've got time. But St. German's... he was the leading sire that year, ranked third in 1936. And he was the sire also, St. German's was, of Bold Venture, who had some fertility problems also, limited fertility, I would say. Of course, Bold Venture won the Kentucky Derby and Preakness and sired Triple Crown winner Assault, who, like 20 grand, was completely sterile. Middle Ground, he had limited fertility. The best thing he sired was Rosaka, who won the Coaching Club American Oaks. And let's see, Sir Germans was also the sire of Devil Diver, who was a twice the champion handicap horse, sired 18 stakes winners, and went to stud originally at Green Tree and then moved over to the Stallion Station when Lou Doherty and Harold Snowden headed over there. And let's see, Swinford was the sire of St. Germans, and of course, he was bred by Lord Derby. He won 8 of his 12 starts, including the St. Ledger. And he'd entered stud back in 1913, was the leading sire in 1923, ranked second in 1924, 1925, third in 1921. It was a good sire line, those who were fertile. All righty, let's see. I've got one more thing to do here, talk about Line of David. Line of David is a grade one stakes winner from a highly successful sire line, and he successfully completed his first season at stud this year. So thank you, breeders. Line of David shipped into Oaklawn Park following two front-running wins at Santa Anita. Both of those were on the turf. The Grade 1 Arkansas Derby was his goal, and this was his first start on dirt. And he wired the field again, and he defeated the likes of Super Saver, who won the Kentucky Derby in his next start, to Grade 1 winner Dublin. Grade 1 winner Noble's Promise was in the field. It was a good field. Line of David is from the second crop by Lionheart, a leading first crop sire, and a son of Taylor the Cat. Taylor the Cat, who currently ranks first on the general sire list and eighth on the, the juvenile sire list and eighth on the general sire list. And both Lionheart and his sire, Taylor the Cat, have sired Breeders' Cup winners. In fact, Lionheart is the sire of 20 stakes winners and over 40 stakes horses to date. This, of course, the famed Stormcat sire line, and Line of David's Dam, a daughter of leading juvenile sire Capote, is from the family of the great sire, Mr. Prospector. So you're invited to visit Spendthrift Farm to inspect Line of David and the Spendthrift Stallions. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Run that body one more time.
Let's see where I am here. I was going to read something from... never did get a hold of Moody. I'm going to have to do something to him. Something bad to you, Steve. I think Steve goes to bed. He's up all night handicapping, and then he goes to bed. I wanted to see who he liked in the Alabama today. Let me see. I said I was going to read something from... here we go. I'll read this. I've read this many times before, but I'll do it again because I got about 10 minutes to kill here before you can kiss me goodbye. This is called The Gas House Gang, written by Joe Palmer. The records say that Jolly Roger earned $143,240, which is woefully incomplete. He was a great steeplechaser in an era of great steeplechasers, and he won the Grand National at Belmont under 165 pounds in 1927. He won it again the next year under 167. He ran for Mrs. Payne Whitney, which was a good thing for a horse. And after he left the races in 1930, he went back to the paddocks of Green Tree Farm to grow old gracefully, with a world record for earnings by chaser. Mrs. Whitney did not know it, but Jolly Roger's earning days weren't over. A good many tourists from Iowa and Maine and Kansas get to Green Tree every year. And, of course, they want to see famous horses. There were some children on the farm, owned by some of the resident employees, and they found this situation interesting. Want to see St. Germans? They'd say. A questionnaire? If they found the visitors knew little enough, they'd offer Man of War. For that matter, Eclipse. Whatever the choice, one of the youngsters would run out and catch old Jolly Roger, who was a very flashy horse with a blaze face and four white stockings, and he could be led by a child with a silk string. The act was always good for a quarter or half a dollar, and Jolly Roger was probably shown as much as any horse in Kentucky, though never under his own name. Presently, to share his paddocks, came Cherry Pie, which was one of Mrs. Whitney's best-loved horses, and then 20 grand, with his record for the Derby. And there was the Easter Hero, finally, to make a four. The farm staff, lamentably addicted to baseball broadcasts in season, call them the Gas House Gang. You won't recall Easter Hero because he raced over the fences in England. He was good enough, but his fame rests largely on the way he played Mary Hell with the field of the Aintree Grand National in 1928. This was the notorious renewal in which 42 horses started and only the 100-to-1 shot, Tipperary Tim, finished undamaged, though the American entry, Billy Barton, was remounted after pecking the last jump and finished second. No others finished at all, largely because of Easter Hero. He hit the canal turn fence, but instead of going over, landed a straddle of it. Billy Barton, too close to turn out, cleared fence, ditch, and Easter Hero in one prodigious leap, but several others fell, and more refused. Easter Hero finally fell back off the fence into the ditch on the near side, where he ran up and down for a while, and nothing followed behind would attempt to jump at all. This cut the field to a half a dozen or so, and Aintree's murderous fences took care of most of the few which had got over. 20 grand had won the Derby in 1931 in track record time, sweeping down the stretch with a great rush. He was later tried in the stud, but proved incurably sterile. There was an attempt to train him again. He ran in the first Santa Anita Handicap in 1935, but this didn't work very well either. So he was brought back to the farm and turned out with other pensioners. It would be nice to think that these old four warriors remembered their days of glory and argued during the hot summer afternoons about whether steeplechasing was honest, though the chances are they didn't. But at least they had the big paddocks and the tall grass in their own company and long years of idleness. As the years passed, their reputations were largely forgotten. There had always been plenty of horses better than Cherry Pie. Whirlaway broke 20 grand's record with an even more spectacular rush. Many another horse came down at Aintree to the detriment of the field behind him. But year after year, Jolly Roger held to his record. No other steeplechaser had ever earned so much as he. But faster even than racehorses runs the white horse. Cherry Pie was the first to go. He died in 1947 at the age of 27. In February 1948, Easter Hero rose to his last fence. And then a month later, 20 grand came to the end of his days at the age of 20. This left Jolly Roger, an aging 26, as a lonely survivor. In all the years since he had left the fences, his record had remained virtually the only money record except Top Flight's, which had withstood the big purses of the 1940s. Then on July 2nd, Elk Ridge, 10-year-old veteran of 1,000 fences, shook off the feel of the Indian River steeplechase to Delaware Park, and with a purse of 8,000 $800 set a new steeplechasing mark for earnings. On July the 3rd, the Gas House gang was disbanded. Jolly Roger died at Green Tree.
Well, that one makes me cry. Oh, look at you. Look at you. You're all teared up. I knew it.
Gets me every time.
Every time.
That's what great writing can do for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He is the best.
The best ever.
Hey, wasn't Michael a good interview, huh?
Wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah, she sure was.
Enjoy
fun
talking
having
to her.
And I knew she was a nice lady. She came up here. She was fun to talk to up here on the clocker stand.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her stopping by. We were talking about the training center, and we've had a pretty good month so far at the training center. It's kind of tough to beat July. We had 60 winners and 3 stakes winners in July, but we're up to 31 winners already. Through yesterday, which was the 19th.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And 11 since the last show.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. So, since the last week's show, I've already, of course, announced the winners prior to that. Robert Sturgeon, everybody calls him Bobby, but he races under Robert C. Sturgeon. Gets very formal with that. He's from Bourbon County. Good old Bourbon County boy. He's saddle winner. Josh Sines, saddle one. Mark Hubley. Kervin Smith. Tom Bergen. Mark Hubley again. Tommy Mills. Arthur Antrim. Bill Hickey. Bill is new around here also. He just came around when Keeneland closed. Don't know him very well. The young guy. Yesterday, Mort Shirazi, saddle another winner. And Helmut Jackson. So,
well, good for them.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yep, I'm for that.
Pretty good, okay. You got anything you want to
plug? Sandy Hatfield, Farm Manager of the Year, and nice person of all years. That's excellent. She, of course, is a stallion manager at Three Chimneys.
And she's the Farm Manager of the Year.
Yes.
And when's that next? Is that the next meeting?
That's the next meeting. Well, you know, I guess they have this. They don't have one in August because everybody's in Saratoga.
It'll be the September meeting,
the September 30th at the Red Mile. I wouldn't miss that for love nor money.
Or do they have that later on in the year where they have the dance?
That's a dance. Now, this is Farm Managers of the Year thing is September 30th.
Yeah.
At the Red Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of give up on the dance, get run over by those young chicks and all those young people.
Well, I like to go and look.
Oh, I know. He goes to look. We don't do a lot of dancing.
I've forgotten why, but
well, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Right. Anything else?
Well, the horse park.
We need
park.
Some filler time here.
Yeah, the horse park right now, there's all kind of stuff going on. Of course, there's polo all the time. But there's Hunter Jumper. Let's see, what's the 20th? United States Hunter Jumper Association Hunter Derby Finals is today. And today and tomorrow, Bluegrass Festival Hunter Jumper Show next week is the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association. You can jump your brains out there. Gee whiz. Your eyes after all go boing, go boing, go boing. Then, for September, is a big dog show. It's called a cluster dog show.
I have no idea what
a cluster dog is. Either. I've never heard of that breed.
Group of dogs. Don't you have any of them clusters? And four-legged
clusters. You can't buy three or more. You can't buy just one.
You're right.
Okay, about the show being up on UrsaWallace.com. We haven't had anybody to help us. I got a guy coming tomorrow. So we're hoping we'll straighten out this mess and all the shows will be up so you can download them. Or you can just listen on the computer, on your iPhone, all those adaptable things. Am I right? WLXG.com and get all that info on how to do that. And then you go to UrsaWallace.com.
All right. I think that music playing in the background means it's time for us to get out of here.
Roy and Dale.
Yeah. I want to say, Ressi, Dukes, thank you so much here at the Clocker Stand. And Mary Jane down in the studio. Another great job, Mary Jane. Can't get along without you two guys. And we'll talk to you all next week.